This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. People who attend concerts by Michael Franti and his band Spearhead usually know what they're in for. Politically charged songs, extended jam sessions, you might get a hula hooper here and there, a little whiff of weed in the air. But this summer, Michael Franti fans have been encountering something new at his concerts. Yoga mats. Michael Franti's Soul Shine Tour is a combination yoga class rock concert, and he joins me here in the studio today to tell us about it. Michael, it's been a while. Welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thanks. I think it's been like 2008 or something like that. So.
And back then, our security was nonplussed in the building because you came into the building without shoes,
yes.
And here you are without shoes again.
Well, I brought my flip-flops today and secretly took them off when I made it through the security gate.
So, you know, you're a guy who likes his body to be in touch with his environment.
Yeah.
Is that what got you into yoga in the first place?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I was traveling on tour and I was very feeling really broken down. You know, my back was sore from holding my guitar all the time and getting in and out of a tour bus and airplanes and bad restaurant food. And I walked into a yoga class on September 12th, 2001. So the day after September 11th.
Wow.
It was also a very stressful time for everyone in our country and around the world, really. And I went into this practice, and at the end of it, I felt better. Mm-hmm. I felt looser in my body, but more importantly, I felt a sense of ease and a sense of focus that I had never experienced from any other sort of physical activity or even meditation that I had practiced before. And so I kept going to classes each day, and I'd go to a different city and go to a different yoga school, and I've done that ever since, you know, for almost 13 years now on tour. And I started inviting people to our shows to practice at Soundcheck. And first it was 5 people, and then 15, and then 30. And then last year when we played Red Rocks in Colorado, we invited people to come early. We had 1,200 yogis show up. So we thought this year we would do that at every stop along the tour. So we've assembled some of my favorite yoga teachers who I've met along the way, and 4 killer bands. And there's an hour of yoga class that's done with acoustic music that mm-hmm. I play through the whole class. And then the doors open for a big rock concert once everybody's loosened up.
That must be one hell of a mosh pit you got going there in the evening. So you guys are kind of jamming along.
Yeah, what
is
I do
is it completely improvised?
No, I sing a lot of my songs, and it's myself and Jay Bowman, who plays guitar in my mm-hmm. band, and I play a stomp box, which is like a drum I play with my foot. And so it's like being in class where you're listening to music, except I'm actually there.
Michael Franti is actually here with us on Soundcheck, the founder and leader of the band Spearhead. Their latest album's called All People, and he and the band are currently leading this Soul Shine Music and Yoga Tour. In addition to Michael being here in the Soundcheck studio, Nicole Newman has joined us as well. She's a yoga instructor and the founder of Yoga for the Arts, based here in New York. So, Nicole, Michael and his gang aside, it seems like there are lots of musicians who've found their way to yoga.
Absolutely. I have the pleasure, as a musician myself, conservatory-trained flutist, to work with professional and aspiring professional musicians to help prevent and rehabilitate injuries. As you know, being on tour is extremely strenuous on both the body and the mind.
Well, and Michael was talking, you know, years of holding the guitar. Mm-hmm. You know, the guitar is not like, for example, a clarinet, which, you know, you hold in front of you. The guitar is sort of weighted on, I guess the flute would be the same way,
yeah.
Right? It's sort of weighted to one part of your body as opposed to another.
Well, any asymmetrical instrument is going to pose its own set of challenges, but each instrument has a unique set of challenges. You know, we might think the clarinet or the oboe is an advantage, but they too have issues with tendons in the thumb, wrist tensions, elbow tension.
So yoga can help with that?
Yoga can help prevent these injuries from their onset and also help to rehabilitate them.
Oh.
Especially if they're caught in the early stages.
Did that work for you, Michael?
Yeah, you know, I had a lot of really basically atrophy in my back, you know. So in between my shoulder blades and my lower back, I just wasn't using those muscles, and I was sitting in chairs on planes and buses a lot, like most of us do when we go to work. And I used to have to go to a lot of massage and physical therapy and stuff to try to work stuff out of my body. But now that I take care of myself, I don't have to do that anymore. And I know where I need to stretch when I'm feeling it.
All right. Now, let me ask you both a kind of a question that struck all of us here at Soundcheck when we started thinking about, you know, this combination of music and yoga, which is there are some – maybe I'm using the wrong term here, but there are some schools of yoga mm-hmm. where music is not considered to be a part of the practice. It's actually a distraction from the practice. So, you know – Michael, you talk about going to a different class in every city. You must have come up
again. Yeah, I don't go to
that
school. No, but actually I have, an Iyengar yoga and Ashtanga yoga, which are sort of the two main threads that have brought yoga to America. There's no music in either of them. In Ashtanga, there's a bit of singing that people do at the start of the practice and at the end of the practice sometimes. But apart from that, it's yoga is really about putting ourselves into challenging positions and then learning to breathe through them and learning to quiet our mind while our mind is saying, I want to get out of this. It's too difficult. And I'm too, you know, we learn to quiet our mind in this. So there's a lot of people who feel that you can do that better without the distraction of music. I believe that music and yoga are both accessing the windows that open the soul. And so our mind gets really taxed, our body becomes really tired, and it's our soul in those moments that opens up and go, you know what, you can go a little bit further, you can love a little bit more, you can connect a little more deeply. And music, you know, you might hear just the first opening chords of, you know, Miles Davis's My Funny Valentine without any words, it'll make you cry, you know. And the same thing is true with yoga. You go deeply into your hips and you breathe into it, and you might access some part of some memory that has happened or some experience that's gone into your life that you go, wow, and you let it go, and the same thing happens. And so I feel that the two really can complement each other.
What about you, Nicole?
Well, I think there's an indelible bond between music and yoga without question. And I'm an advocate for whatever gets people to the mat, and practicing yoga, That's key.
Do you, if you're doing yoga specifically with musicians, mm-hmm. is there music in the studio while you're working with them?
I'm not playing music as we're working. Most of the time I'm delivering a workshop. Sometimes it's to a 120-person orchestra. But often I also have one-on-one sessions. Mm. So the music really takes place where I have a musician play for me so I can observe any tension-holding patterns. And that helps me to customize a sequence based on their personal needs. But I've definitely participated in classes where there's music, and it can be a really beautiful experience.
Soundcheck listeners, if you practice yoga, how do you feel about combining music and yoga? Do you like it? Do you find it distracting? You can leave us a comment at soundcheck.org. Michael Franti is here with us, the founder and leader of the band Spearhead. Their current tour is the Soul Shine Music and Yoga Tour. Nicole Newman, also with us on Soundcheck, is the founder of Yoga for the Arts, based here in New York City. So, Michael, especially given the way this current tour works, you've got Spearhead fans showing up. They're doing yoga. You're playing along, and as you said before, you know, this is not like the opening instrumental of My Funny Valentine. This is you singing
rocking
in
out.
English songs that – and many of your songs have a kind of social or sociopolitical context to them. Mm-hmm. And I could clearly imagine some of these people on the mat going, oh, I like this song. Oh, this is the song where he's really like digging into that death penalty thing, you know. It's like, I can see how that could be – you know, you could be trying to serve two masters at the same time.
Well, what we do is, I usually start off the class just by playing a song for everybody to get up and jump around and dance to. And then we bring everybody down into the mats and set an intention, and then teachers take over. And I play a lot of acoustic music, and then we sort of riff off each other with the teacher, and they leave space for me to sing a little bit, and people get up and jump around and dance. And we do partner yoga and acro yoga. And we do stuff with everybody in a circle. So it's not your, you know.
It's not a class.
It's not your mom's yoga class. You know? it's playtime. But the reason that we do it that way is that we do have a lot of people who are there for the first time. And our theme for the tour is music and yoga for all. And I think there's this sort of misconception about yoga that you have to be skinny, you have to be wearing Lululemon pants, you have to be, you have to sit cross-legged for an hour and hum some mantra, you know. And yoga is really for everybody and for all, you know, shapes and sizes and experiences. Yeah. And so we try to make it be something that is fun and challenging for people who have been on the mat, but accessible for people who are there for the first time.
Now, Michael, can you do the cross-legged, the lotus position?
You know what? I've been practicing yoga for 13 years, and I cannot get myself into a lotus.
I'm so glad to hear that, because yeah. I can't conceive yeah. of how
my hips
a guy can do that.
Yeah, my hips were very, very tight when I started. But, you know, some people walk into a yoga room and they're from day one, they can do that, but they can't do other things. And that's the thing about yoga, is that we all come in with our own bodies and our own experiences. And it's not where you think you should be. It's just being with where you are at the moment and seeing if you can go beyond your personal horizons.
Mm-hmm. And Nicole, I mean, the musicians who come to you, first of all, is it hard to get musicians to kind of look in this direction to help with performance problems, mm-hmm. performance anxiety problems, that sort of stuff?
I think it's becoming easier and easier. People are realizing, administrators of music schools and music programs are realizing that so many musicians are incurring injuries, and often it's been swept under the carpet for fear of not getting a job or missing an opportunity, having to change their practice.
But schools have had like Alexander technique and stuff.
Absolutely. But it's, again, it wasn't mandatory for many years. It was an elective. Now it's becoming a course that musicians need to take. And I find that all of these different practices, people become very committed to their practice. This is the way. But I feel we're all marching up the same mountain. Mm. So it's just a different route there. Many musicians are afraid, oh, I can't touch my toes. I'm not flexible. And that's really not the purpose. Iyengar says, if you can breathe, you can do yoga. And it's really about finding those, as Iyengar would say, the quote unquote black holes of the body and yeah. bringing life to those spots that might have been dormant for some time.
You know, on our tour, we've got the other, my band and the three other bands who are out, and most of the artists haven't practiced before, and it's been really amazing to see people showing up for the mat every mm-hmm. day who have never practiced before, and they're having their mind just totally turned around about what yoga is and what it is for their own experience, because being a musician is really being an athlete. You're using your body, you're using your muscles, you're using your breath, mm-hmm. you're using your joints, and you're doing, like you said, the repetitive movements that occur. And the muscle memory that's required is using a lot of the same muscles mm-hmm. and the same groups of muscles all the time.
As the classical yeah. pianist Leon Fleischer refers to musicians, small muscle athletes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But learning to recruit the larger muscles to really help the smaller muscles, that's a major thing, because just using the smaller muscles and not realizing how they connect yeah. to the whole can also lead to some problems down the road.
Well, now, Nicole, you're a flutist, and Michael, in addition to being an instrumentalist, you're obviously a singer as well, so you both deal with breath. Mm-hmm. So that seems to be – I am not a yoga practitioner.
But you're human and you breathe.
I do appreciate the benefits of breathing. It definitely beats the alternative. But breath seems to be kind of at the core of all these different schools of yoga. Yeah. Is that right?
You know, that's the first thing we really connect with when we start our practices is the breath and learning to connect your breath to your movement.
Mm. And Nicole, for you?
Yeah, I mean, the breath serves as a conduit for our creativity, our curiosity to enhance our creativity, to elicit the relaxation response when performance anxiety is high. And that was another thing, relying on beta blockers to decrease, even though it's not like a Xanax for decreasing anxiety, but a muscle relaxant. They're very popular, and many musicians are trying to move away mm-hmm. from that. Because if you really want to have a lifelong career as a musician, it's better to really take ownership of your own health yeah. versus relying on this external,
right.
Really unsustainable.
So you don't want to be on beta blockers for as long as you're out there playing.
You don't ever want to be on beta blockers. Yeah. You really don't ever want to be on that.
You know, when I first started practicing, I smoked lots of pot before. Mm-hmm. And I would smoke from 11 in the morning till whenever I had to sleep. And I would get on the yoga mat in the morning, and I'd get into down dog, which is an inversion. So your head is facing down, and it's below your heart, and your blood goes to your head. And I would just feel like hungover, basically. And I'd feel cloudy and foggy. And so I'd say to myself, you know, I'm not going to smoke tonight because I don't want to feel cloudy in yoga tomorrow. And then I'd be like, well, I'm not going to smoke in the afternoon. And today I'm just going to skip it. And eventually I unintentionally weaned myself from like probably 12 years of pot addiction just by wanting to be on the mat more than I wanted to feel cruddy all the time. And that in itself really changed my life. But also you go through a great yoga class and it's, you know, 75, 90 minutes of really working hard and focusing and sweating, and you get off the mat and the last thing you want to do is like put a Diet Pepsi in you. You want to, you know, you want like something clean. You want fresh water. You want juice. You want to start eating better. And you know, I was somebody who would do a show and then we'd go to Denny's and we'd slam like all kinds of Denny's food and then drink soda all day long. And it wasn't like an intentional thing, but I really cleaned up my nutrition, because you just start thinking of what are ways that, like you said, as a musician, that I can do this. I'm 48 now, and I can do things with my body that I couldn't do when I was 35 or even 28.
It surreptitiously changes you. I mean, I didn't go into yoga saying, oh, I'm looking to calm down and, you know, have this spiritual connection. I went there because I had physical injury. And I was told by a physical therapist and a massage therapist and acupuncturist, oh, you should really do yoga. You should really do yoga. And when I first started, I really didn't like it. I thought, what a bunch of weirdos. I really did. I thought, this is just bizarre. I don't understand. But I bought a 10-pack and I was too cheap to toss it away. So I was encouraged, keep going. And I really fell in love with it. And it's kind of like sports. You know, you could hate golf, but you love soccer. Mm-hmm. And there's a practice for everyone.
I hate golf and love soccer.
Exactly. So there you go. So
are you saying yoga is for me?
No, I'm saying yoga. There's so many different styles. So, and there's so many different ways of accessing it. So if you go to one class, and it, you know, maybe it's too restorative or too slow paced for you at that time.
Yeah.
Maybe you need something more energized. So it really depends.
Well, the Soul Shine Music and Yoga Tour is on the road right now. Michael Franti and the band Spearhead leading that tour. Their latest album is called All People. Nicole Newman's been with us as well, yoga instructor and founder of Yoga for the Arts based here in New York. And Michael, Nicole, this is fascinating stuff. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
They all tell me that there's something strange. I don't want to meet nobody new. Life sounds like I'm alive, I'm alive.
Up next, we want your help curating a soundcheck series that, if it succeeds, will help you fake your way through your next conversation about music. That's next.